So, ladies and gentlemen, let's give a big welcome to Brother Ivan Tate.
Thank you, Pastor. That's a nice thing for you to say. Praise the Lord, everyone. We are headed to Hebrews 12, if you'll go there. And we are talking about this night, for the time that we're going to be here, the importance of having and keeping forward motion and divine momentum in your life. The thing about it is that as time goes on, we are creatures of habit, and if the habits we have do not create forward motion, or the habits we have do not create divine momentum, they're creating something. They're creating some sort of momentum and some sort of motion. Everything that is alive has to have motion. There is nothing that God created that I can see that does not have motion within it in a form of a law. So you have the law of gravity, it's all motion. You have the law of thermodynamics. You have many, 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 many laws. The entire universe, everything about the ocean, everything about water. If you let water stagnate, it turns into poison. The water has to flow, it has to filter, it has to be in movement. Everything has to have some type of motion or movement. If you don't have blood going through the limbs of your body or a limb of your body, that limb will atrophy and begin to die and become useless and not have the same strength or any strength eventually as the other limbs of your body which have blood flowing through them. Everything in your body requires motion in order to get stronger. Your muscles do not get strong sitting on a couch. Your muscles get strong if you're walking or running or riding your bike or lifting weights or doing something. Then your physical body begins to come alive as muscle equals energy. And so it's the same way in the spirit. Spiritual muscles equal spiritual energy. So when you're lethargic, when you are tired, when you are worn out, many times it's because the Spirit of God has not been flowing through you, and all of the stress and pressures of life have been taking up residence in your mind and in your emotions and in your daily life through pressure and stress. And so when you go, for example, to the gym, stress and pressure is relieved by moving the muscles that have now become tense and hard, and many times you have on your back, for example, you'll have knots. And so you go and get a massage and they start moving those muscles, or you can exercise them or do whatever. But movement is a part of the kingdom of God, because God does not live in park, nor does God live in reverse. So anytime you go against who God is, you are in reverse or you're in park. God is always moving to the next divine destination. You and I have assigned to our lives destinations. Everything about you requires a destination, and that requires you to live in movement, in motion with God. God's not going to just say, hey, I'm going to retire now. I'm just quitting. I don't want to be God today. You know, He's alive. He is moving. He has divine energy, divine power. All of this is very, very important. And it's the same for your personal life, for your emotional life. Your emotional life has to have divine motion. Not just motion, but divine motion. If your emotions are in movement, but they're in movement in anger, or they're in movement in depression, or they're in movement in bitterness, that doesn't create life energy, it creates death energy. So you are constantly fighting, trying to have joy, because you are in motion against joy by saying and complaining and talking negatively about someone, and that creates an atmosphere of electrical things that cause depression, anger, and doesn't allow you to have the vantage point that God is at. So you're seeing things through a perspective that is not of the Holy Spirit. Your perspective is the perspective of a human or of a demon or of a particular belief that you have that's not right, not of God, things of that nature. And so your perspectives change the way you respond to the situation. If you don't see it the way God sees it, then you have a negative reaction. For example, if you get offended by somebody and realize that when God is ready to promote you, He's going to send someone to offend you, you see the situation differently. You say, oh, a promotion is coming. Hallelujah. I've just got to love this offensive person. Glory to God. I'm so excited. I'm about to get promoted, because your perspective changes your entire attitude about the situation. But if you don't see it like that, if you just think this is a rotten person, here is another rotten person, there's another rotten person, how many rotten people? Because your perspective is causing you to get stuck in a place where the enemy can speak to you. When you're in motion, Satan doesn't live in forward motion. So he has no access to your mind when you're moving forward with God. Holla, holla.
Amen.
Everybody with me so far? So let's look at a few Bible verses on things that are in the Spirit in motion, and some of the beautiful things about that. So, Acts 2:47. The people were praising God continually. Let's just take a praise break, everybody, and just praise God. Now, if I say to you, there's $10 million under your chair, and you find it, and you see it, your praise changes. Right? Like, that was a pathetic praise right there. But if you find $10 million, you don't have worn out, tired praise. You have, I have $10 million. It's real. It's not going to bounce. It's the praise changes. Everything changes when you see things the way God does. It causes you to get excited and go in motion with God. And so, for example, if somebody in your family receives a miracle that you love, your praise changes. If somebody pays off your house tomorrow, your praise is going to change. If somebody gets saved that is not saved in your family and they get genuinely saved, your praise changes. Everything changes when a miracle enters the event. And so forward motion and praise, for one thing, it depends on how you see your life and how many miracles you see in your life. Praise the Lord. So if you go to heaven, if God lets you go to heaven for a while, and you see that there's millions of people there that weren't supposed to be there, they got saved in the last couple of seconds. Those people and that number of people, millions of them, are not going to be silent. They don't belong there. And they know they don't belong there. However, God rescued them because they just cried out to Him in the last few seconds, though they lived all their life in service of Satan, all of a sudden. Well, millions of people like that are not going to be silent. There's no way you could be silent, because all of a sudden you realize heaven's right, hell is right, the preachers are right, all this, you know, the atheists were wrong. They're not. So you're going to be shouting and praising God and making noise. And if all the autistic children and the Down syndrome children are all normal, they're not just going to be, you know, oh, this is what it's like to be normal. They're not going to do that. They're going to shout and praise God. The people with no legs, now they got legs. Blind people can see. Deaf people can hear. You can see how it changes how heaven is going to be. It's not going to be like down here where it takes a crowbar to get some Christians to say hallelujah. It takes a herd of wild horses to get some money out of your pocket. and get some people to tithe, right? All of these things are affected because of the motion you are in. The motion you are in. You have to determine what motion am I in and what momentum am I creating. Hallelujah. Because that's the whole story of your whole life. So, Acts 2:47, and praising God continually, having favor with all the people, and the Lord kept adding to their number daily those who were being saved. That's forward motion. That's divine momentum. You can see it right there. Praise the Lord. And then Acts 6:7, and the message of God kept on spreading, and the number of disciples continued to increase greatly in Jerusalem. There you go again. Colossians 2:19, holding fast to the head, from whom the entire body, supplied and knit together by its joints and ligaments, grows with a growth that comes from God. Again, motion. You can say, look in the mirror and say, I am changing. I am growing. I have victory I did not have. I have peace I did not have. I have joy I did not have. My family is getting saved. Things are happening that only God can be blamed for. You see it right here in these Bible verses. Look at Ephesians 4:15 and 16. Speaking the truth in love. May grow up in all things into him who is the head. Look at Isaiah 9:7. Of the increase of his government, and the word increase there means of the growth of his government and of peace, there shall be no end. Acts 9:31. Then the churches throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria had peace and were edified and kept on multiplying. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So you are in some form of motion. That's the first thought I want you to have. Say it. I'm in some form of motion. And I'm creating some type of momentum. Right? Now, there's nothing wrong with you guys being grieved and sad for an indefinite period of time, whatever it is about Pastor Albert, you know, that's not a negative. That's the natural result of loving a human being and that person not being there. You know, you're going to have that for whatever length of time a person has it. That's not a negative thing on you. That's not going to hurt you. That's not going to be detrimental, but it is a season. It is a season. And so you have to decide, how do I get in forward motion? That's the first question. Everybody asks that question out loud. How do I get in forward motion? Because that's a big deal. Right? Let's quickly look at a few things that make you get in forward motion. Number one, repenting. Everybody say it. As soon as you repent, you kick the devil out and invite God back in. That puts you back in motion. Yeah. Forward. Right. Right? Two is faith. Anytime you walk in faith, you automatically get in divine motion. Right? Yeah. Three, forgiveness. That automatically puts you in divine motion. Four, prayer. That automatically puts you in divine motion. Fasting, divine motion. Obedience, divine motion. All of these things are going to put you in divine motion. Studying the Word, memorizing the Word, eating the Word, sharing Jesus, winning souls, motion. This is going to put you in motion. Loving somebody, motion. All of the holiness, motion. All of this is creating the divine motion that you need and putting you in forward motion. So here's the way it looks. Two things I'm going to give you on this. Two things. Number one, change, regular change is the sign of motion. So if you look the same year after year, that's not motion. That's maintaining. Motion is, I'm not the same person in my level of faith this year as I was last year. There are things I can believe God for this year that I couldn't believe God for last year. There are levels of trust that I have now that I didn't have before. There are ways of forgiving people. I never thought I could forgive people like that. There's always something to change into. So let me give you the way this works. 2 Corinthians 3:18. Beholding in a mirror the glory of the Lord, we are transformed from glory to glory into God's image. So transform is metamorphosis. So metamorphosis is you're born a worm, but something happens to you called a divine transformation that turns you into a butterfly. All right? But make no mistake, we're all born worms, right? Now, worms have a love for dirt. They live in dirt, crawl in dirt, eat dirt, sleep in dirt, born in dirt, die in dirt. They're worms. That's all they know. That's what they like. But something happens, for example, a silkworm, something happens that worm turns into this caterpillar, which is still a worm, and they draw out of themselves a silk thread, and they wrap it around themselves, one thread at a time. The thread, in the spiritual sense of changing and transformation for you, the thread represents the revelation that God gives you personally. What has God told you? That you can say, God told me this. That is a silk thread. You wrap yourself around. Your entire cocoon has to be built on the words God has given you. When you're fully enveloped in what God has told you and sleep in it and dwell in it, a transformation begins. In other words, God's word is so powerful that if you sleep in it, dwell in it, cover yourself with it, build a cocoon with it, it will begin to change who you are as a person. You will no longer have worm traits. And if you study what happens inside the cocoon, one of the crazy things that happens is that the worm decapitates itself and grows a new head. What does this mean? It means what God says changes the mind that you have. You go from having the mind of a worm to the mind of a butterfly. You go from thinking I deserve dirt to I deserve the sky. And you grow wings. And nobody says to a butterfly, look at that old former worm. Nobody looks between the wings and says, look at the worm. No. Everybody says, whoo, look at those wings and look at the colors and look at the beauty. Isn't that right? That's what people notice. Wings are for flyers. You will not see a butterfly sleeping in the dirt. It likes the air. And the purpose is for us to behold the beautiful designs and colors which represent our encounters with God's redemptive power. When people look at you, they ought to say, something happened to you. You're not who you were. You were such a worrier. And now you're just full of joy and positivity and faith. What happened to you? Oh, I had an encounter with God, and it grew my wing out. You used to complain about everything. I haven't heard you say one negative thing about anything.
No, I had an encounter with God.
Grew my wing out. That's the blue color. See what I'm saying? If you don't have this, you as a Christian, how will you have forward motion? How will you create momentum unless this is a continual event from today until you die and you keep seeing transformation? Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So in order for you to have this, you must write down what God tells you and memorize it and be able to tell it to anyone you talk to. These are the 12 things God told me this month. Bam, 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 from my pastor's preaching and from reading the Bible and from praying and fasting. Here's what the Lord said. And it's your silk threads. You keep yourself inside of the divine cocoon of the Holy Spirit and are constantly looking at areas where you were not like Jesus, that you are like Jesus now. Hallelujah. So non-transformational Christianity breeds wormness. Hallelujah. You with me so far? Now I'm going to give you the second thing, and then we'll end with some of these things that are going to cause forward motion and divine momentum. Now, so that was one. You got that one? Joel 2:25. I will restore to you the years locust, cankerworm, palmworm, caterpillar. Four different worms. Study them out. One worm likes roots. They dig and eat roots. Another worm likes the outside, the thing that tells you what the plant or tree is. They eat that. Another one digs through, eats the inside, the heart of the plant. And then one doesn't like any of that. It just likes fruit. It goes to the fruit. But at the end, everything's gone. Worms eat your destiny. Anything in you that you protect that is wormness will eat your destiny out of you. Hallelujah. Here's the four things that are eaten. Roots. Well, you're a Christian. That means you've got to grow roots. What can a tree do without roots? Right? What are the roots? Prayer, obedience, fasting, soul winning. These are all the roots. These are the foundational things that you grow on. These are the things that make you strong, is your roots. And so Satan, his job is to eat your roots. So you have nothing. No roots. Godly habits, those are roots. Holiness, those are roots. Faith, those are roots. Love, those are roots. Those are the foundational things in your life. Then you have the outside, which tells you what kind of plant it is, right? We have 38 different kinds of trees and plants on my house, around my house. And I don't know them all. I have to do an app that tells me, okay, that's that kind of tree. And then I got another one that tells me that's that disease. You know, cut that to the root, get rid of it, or it's going to kill everything. That kind of thing. So the identity of your life is basically what you will do. You will never go beyond what you think you are. You're never going past that. Wherever you put limitations on who you are, that's as much of for God you will ever do. The greater your identity in God, the more divine your identity in God, the greater your faith and the more exploits you can do in God and for God. If you believe that Generations Church was created by God, if you believe that the hand of God is on Generations Church, If you believe that the purposes of God are in the church, if you believe that God has a purpose, a divine will, and that it's a destiny church, then you know that there's nothing the church cannot accomplish because of its identity. This is one of the things we do with our orphans that is very important, is we immediately start calling them royalty. They don't understand that at first because their own mother stood on a street corner when they were 3, 4, and 5 years old and sold them to total strangers for $2 or $3 and waited there till the men brought them back and said to them, if you don't do this, we starve to death. You're not going to feel like royalty after you've been sold to total strangers who have done horrible things to you, painful and terrible things, like animals. When you start calling them royalty, you are royalty. You are the children of God. You have been adopted into the family of God. You are God's child, and there's nothing you cannot do. You are as good as any human being that's ever lived, and you did not deserve what you got, and never will it happen again, because God has rescued you into His house and into His kingdom, and you are going to change the world. So for 5 years, we have the number one school in Guatemala. I don't know that we have a student under the 90s. Most of them are all 90s, 92s, 95s, all that kind of thing. Because when you're telling them, this is who you are, it's not that person that that person forced you to be, this is who you are, identity changes everything. Great people are great because they believe God made them great. Not out of pride or ego, but out of destiny. I know who I am. Nobody can change my mind. It's taken 53 years to persuade me. But I am persuaded. So now I expect God to do amazing things. All over the world. It doesn't surprise me. You need your identity. For forward motion and for divine momentum, you need the right identity. Right? Then the third one eats the heart. Well, without heart, what is a Christian? It is your heart that allows you to love and have compassion on the weak, the lost, the poor. Where is the heart of the people of God? Because if you have a heart for people going to hell, you will do something about it. If it's your own children, you would certainly do something about it. You would hope. You need heart. You need the heart of God. Satan's job is to eat your heart out. Through pain and rejection and disloyalty and betrayal and other things like that. You have to protect your heart. What does the Bible say? For out of it flow the issues of life. Hallelujah. And then there's fruit. Well, what is life without fruit? Everybody has fruit. All your trees are loaded with fruit. But the question is, what kind of fruit? Good fruit or bad fruit, ripe fruit or sour fruit, there's fruit. There's no way not to have fruit because you live, you bear fruit. But you and I have to make sure that the fruit we're bearing comes from God, because God's fruit, heavenly fruit, is eternal fruit. It cannot be destroyed. Hallelujah. It's raining from heaven. So, keep all that in mind, because whatever you see when you get in motion, when you say, I'm moving forward with God and I'm having divine momentum, I feel momentum happening in my life, here is a few things. Number one, Hebrews 12:1, you have to get in the race and start running it. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses who by faith have testified to the truth of God's absolute faithfulness, stripping off every unnecessary weight and the sin which so easily cleverly entangles us, let us run with endurance and active persistence the race that is set before us. Forward motion, divine momentum is you in the race. You got to be running the race. You got to be doing something that is creating something in your life that is divine. You got to be able to point to it and say, that's a divine thing. That is not of this earth. Running the race, getting in there, fighting for what you believe, fighting for the things you believe are part of your inheritance, fighting for your children, fighting for their futures, fighting for your own health, fighting for your own mental saneness, fighting for your emotional health, fighting for your faith, fighting, fighting, fighting. You have to get in the race. You have to get in there, and this is going to start producing momentum. Hallelujah. A lot of churches are in park, and a lot of people are in park. Look at this one. Say it out loud. I'm pressing in. Philippians 3, 13 and 14. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider that I have made it my own yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the heavenly prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. The question you have to ask every day is this going to be a pressing in day, or am I taking a vacation today? Because spiritually speaking, you guys want to see some visible results for your walk with God. And that's going to take pressing in. You press in by getting on your knees and praying through. You pray for a good hour or two. You lay hands on your children. You kneel next to their bed. You let them hear you pray over them for 30 minutes to an hour. These are the memories your children must have. They must hear the sound of their parents in their ears praying for them at night, because this is what keeps Satan out of their head, is the sound of parents on their knees praying for the eternal destiny of their children. So their children say, my parents birthed me into this kingdom on their knees. Lazy parents will not do that. Don't get offended. Hallelujah. We speak the truth in love, but there's nowhere in the Bible that says don't receive it if it's not given in love. It doesn't say that. It says, you know, you got to receive the truth even if it comes from a donkey. Right? Even if it comes from your enemies. But you have to speak the truth in love. Hallelujah. Give somebody a big hug and say, I just know you have $50 that I want. Now, pressing on. You can tell when somebody's pressing on. There are many signs to people that press on. One thing, they always write down what God tells them. They memorize it and they talk about it, and they have all this spiritual fruit coming out of their life all the time because they're pressing in. They're pressing. They're pushing. They're breaking down barriers. They're going beyond what they did last year. They're achieving bigger things than they did last year. That's the spirit of forward motion and divine momentum. Because if you don't get it in God, Satan will come along and it will be natural to you because of your DNA and your genetics, which tend towards the negative in the flesh. They don't need help. It's just automatic. Spiritual stuff needs help, choices. Your natural carnal self just lives off itself. It cannibalizes you like a machine would. But spiritual living requires choices and action. until it becomes your number one source of muscle memory in the spirit. Hallelujah. Give someone a high five and say, I love it when he talks to you like that. 1 John 1:7, but if we really walk in the light, that is, live each and every day in conformity with the precepts of God, as he himself is in the light, we have true, unbroken fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin by erasing the stain of sin, keeping us cleansed from sin in all its forms and manifestations. And this is something that keeps you in forward motion, is walk in the light. If you're sitting at home watching something, simply ask, is this light? Is this light? Or is this darkness? Are these thoughts I'm having, are they coming from light? Or are these thoughts coming from a dark place? This thing I want to say, is that light? Is that coming from light? Everything has to be in the light to produce divine momentum. You want that. You want momentum. You want momentum in the home. You want momentum in your personal life, in every area of your business, and everything. You want to have that going on. Hallelujah. There you go again. It's amazing what I can do with a bottle that doesn't have a cover top on it. Praise the Lord. There's the Spirit of the Lord. All right. Now, Psalm 84:7. They go from strength to strength, increasing in victorious power. Each of them appears before God in Zion, moving from strength to strength. This is how you know that you're creating forward motion, is you're a lot stronger next month than you are this month. The stuff that broke you up doesn't break you up. The stuff that cracked your faith doesn't move you anymore. The thing that put doubt in you doesn't do it anymore, because you're going from strength to strength, forward motion to divine momentum, and it's making you stronger. You can pick up that load and it doesn't bother you. You can deal with that person and it doesn't upset you. This is forward motion. Christians are not supposed to get meaner, right, as time goes on. And just the thought, they're supposed to get sweeter, right? They're supposed to get kinder. They're supposed to have like more joy in 2 years, in 5 years, in 10 years. They're supposed to become more effective as time goes on, because you're in motion. And if you're not in motion, one of the ways you know that is old bad habits start to take over your life. You get a weed infestation in your life. Weeds start coming in. You start saying things and talking in ways that you know you're not supposed to, and it doesn't bother you anymore. That's an infestation of a weed for lack of motion. Hallelujah. Everybody say it out loud. I'm getting better. Life is getting better. Revival is going to break out, because the devil is a liar. Look at this one, Psalm 1:3. And he will be like a tree firmly planted and fed by streams of water, which yield its fruit in its season. Its leaf does not wither, and whatever he does, he prospers and comes to maturity. Hallelujah. You're supposed to grow like a tree grows. When you're in motion, you are not as dumb next year as you were this year. Right? You're not as stubborn as you were. You're not as proud as you were. you're way more teachable and you appreciate correction. You don't get mad and take it personal and get offended and throw a fit like big babies. Instead, you say, thank God that God loves me enough to correct me and take that dangerous attitude out of my life, to take that lying thing out of my life, to deliver me from that bad habit. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. I am like a tree planted by the rivers of water, and I will bring forth my fruit in its season. Everybody shout a little bit and say, glory to God. Tell somebody around you, the whole church will be packed out. Say it out loud. We're going to have to go to two services because it's the will of God, and we're going to be in motion. Forward motion, not backwards, not park. Forward motion with divine momentum. Say it again. Packed out, every chair full, everybody on fire, people getting saved, people getting healed, no doubt, no unbelief, and no listening to the devil. When people are not in motion, that's when the devil can speak to them. When you're in motion, you're too busy seeing light and hearing light to look back. Lot's wife looked back because she had ceased to move forward in God. Hallelujah. Would you look at someone, shake their hand, and say, snap out of it? I'll give you one more. And that is Romans 6:4. We have therefore been buried with him through baptism into death, so that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory and power of the Father, we too might walk in habitual newness of life, abandoning our old ways. When you're in motion and momentum, new things are constantly coming to you. Like you're always evolving in spiritual matters, and you're doing things you couldn't do before, and beholding things you couldn't see before, and hearing things you couldn't hear before, and acting in ways you never acted before, because newness is the face of motion. Newness, it's the face of motion. If any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things pass away, and everything becomes new. That is not just a salvation scripture. That is a living scripture. That is your experience when you're in motion. You say, wow, you know what happened to you? You were one of the worst dressers I've ever seen. Now you're all dressed up and you look good. Well, newness. Right? Wow, you used to smell a lot. Now you don't smell a lot. You smell good, like maybe you took a bath or a shower. Or newness. Right? These are the signs. I'll end with this. Romans 8:14. For all who are allowing themselves to be led by the Spirit of God are the sons and daughters of God. This is what happens when you're in motion. You are led by the Holy Spirit from victory to victory, from breakthrough to breakthrough, and from blessing to blessing. Because when you're led of the Spirit, you are being led into what God's will is for your life. Hallelujah. Jesus was led by the Spirit. Everything about him was led by the Spirit. And he says it very clearly, I don't do anything unless I see my Father do it. And I don't say anything unless I hear my Father say it. How many times would that have helped you? You know what I'm saying? How much would that have helped you? If you actually are driving, they almost kill you, and you feel like cussing them out or yelling at them, and instead say, Lord, what would you do right now? I feel like cussing them out. Do I have your permission to do that? Oh, no, you want me to pray for them. Right? Hallelujah. Things have to change for some of you. Things have to change. There is a move of God coming. There is a revival coming. And many are going to miss it because they're not in motion. God will pass them right by. Remember all the revivals that have happened throughout history. Thousands of people were off getting drunk or were sitting in some dead place. They were not seeking for the moving of the Holy Spirit. We must seek for the movings of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. So thank you so much for the, put my music on, for the day you gave us today. Thank you for showing up for church. And it's 7:25. I did pretty good. And I just want to say to you, may your rest of your year be your best year. May miracles happen to you that are not expected. May God do something for you before this year is over that is so amazing that all you can do is shout. May God give you a blessing that will last for the rest of your life. And may no one be able to steal it from you. May you have the sleep of babies. May you lay your head down without anxiety, torment, or fear. May you not toss and turn with worry, but may your insides be at peace. And may you have the most generous heart of anyone you know in the whole wide world. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. Praise the Lord. All right, Pastor.